WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Valor Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are
sick. And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you happen to be on Twitch and you have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe. It really is that simple. You can also follow the channel or hang out and chat or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And y'all, it is part two of our Summer Slam party, blowout. Whatever you want to call out.
It's blowout. The logo says blowout.
Blowout. Thank you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin'.
We gotta come up with tougher titles once in a while, because reasons.
Well, there was a blowout, all right. That's for sure. There are several blowouts tonight.
Anyone watch The Office and know Stanley Hudson's laugh? That's my reaction to this show tonight. Oh, chat, what a night this was. It was SummerSlam. You had a little bit of everything. Big shocking returns, upset internet fans. You have some awesome tributes to the NWO. Apparently there's a Wolfpack shirt you can buy on Shop from the New Day. That's freaking cool. You had a kick-ass crowd. I don't know. Wrestling's fun when it needs to be fun. Sometimes we all take it way too seriously. I had fun watching this show. I cackled all night. And I'm going to continue to cackle as we do this review.
This was not my most favorite show. I'm still processing, so, for a large portion of it, I just kind of wasn't feeling it. But I will admit there were some good moments on this show. And there were some questionable moments on this show, which we're going to talk about, because things happened in a rather convoluted way, and they didn't really need to. So do we just want to get the elephant out of the room, or do you want to go in order? How do you want to do this?
There's many elephants in this room. Let's be real.
Let's talk about the one that just happened.
All right, let's talk about the one that just happened. Let's start at the top and go from there.
So the show ended with Roman Reigns versus John Cena. John Cena apparently has a whole new slew of gear and as well as an NFT, so you can go check that out. It's all based on Mario. And this match was really, really good. This was really entertaining.
Props to John. He didn't have to come in here and do this.
He didn't. He came in and he worked. He worked tonight. They had like a good, 12, 15 minute match?
No, longer than that. They started, 135, 140? So they worked about 25 minutes, bell to bell. You said it was Rudy Charles was the ref?
Yep. Or whatever his WWE's name.
Whatever his name is. It's Rudy. We all know Rudy. He got as close as you can get to the canvas on the threes. He made you believe the 1, 2 and the threes. He made sure to slide them in as low as he can go, which was added to the drama. Roman Reigns shit talking John Cena. Fantastic. My favorite point was John Cena's out there going, "You need to be embarrassed. Your time is up. My time is now." And then he does the hoo-ah to then just be kicked in the face. It was
perfect. It was so perfect. It was just like, oh my God, John, you idiot. You walking cartoon, you. Well done.
The drive-by was perfectly timed with Cena coming down off the apron and Cena and Roman plopping him right in the face with the kick. The AA through the table was tremendous.
That hurt.
Yeah, when they don't move shit off the table, it's gonna hurt. And hopefully there wasn't a middle monitor, hopefully there was just two, so he actually didn't hit every monitor on the way down. But since I think there were three, because there's usually three announcers. Yeah, this was fun. This was entertaining. Cena coming out, getting the huge pop. Roman Reigns getting booed out of the building. It's no Hogan Rock, but this was good.
This was entertaining. This was, I feel like, the lift that the show needed, which it should have been because it's the main event. This absolutely delivered on every level that you wanted it to, especially with the build that they had, where you had the really good back and forth between Roman and John, and you had just a really strong competition between the two. Again, we said this. Cena didn't have to come out there and work this hard. He really didn't. But he did. He showed up and he gave Roman everything. He was jumping off the second rope. He's putting him through tables. You know, he's doing all kinds of shit that he doesn't really have to do. But he's doing it because he wants to do it. And in turn, Roman responded. And this is one of the best performances out of Roman I've seen in a long while.
It was great. Oh, we have Tim doing the intern's job. 37 minutes, including entrances.
37 minutes. It felt like 12 to 15.
It was
That's
good.
How you know it's a good match.
Yeah. Yeah. Midnight, I was like, all right, it's midnight, let's go home. And they went about another 7-8 minutes. I was like, all right, cool. It delivered. It was a main event that delivered. Some will say, oh, the build wasn't great. The build was really good.
I thought the build was fine.
People over-dramatize things on the internet. I know, shocking, that happens about a build to a main event match. But they cut some damn good promos on the lead-up, as we mentioned on Thursday. And, God, they delivered on a show where they were the main attraction. Based on how everything played out tonight, they were the main attraction. They delivered. You spent your $5 on the Peacock.
You got your $5
You got your $5 worth. If you paid the $60 on the pay-per-view, you got your money's worth. Or whatever it costs in Canadian bucks.
No idea.
Couldn't tell you.
What I liked about this match, too, speaking of the build, is they called back to the 1-2-3 in the second to last or last promo that Cena did leading into this match. Cena's like, all I have to do is do the 1-2-3, get the 1-2-3 on you to beat you. You're going to whoop my ass. And Roman absolutely did. Roman whooped Cena's ass. But all John had to do was pin him.
Yeah.
And they call back to that pretty much in the early part of the match. And what was great was Roman's sarcastic, condescending, "Oh my God, you got two on me." Oh my God. Oh my God. Guys, he got two.
Oh my God, oh yes. No. Oh my God, yes.
It was like, oh, you dick.
They gave
you wonderful, beautiful dicks. I love you so much.
Yeah, they gave away the ending on SmackDown with Roman thing. It was stupid. Thursday, I was like, I want, you know how we always used to say, Mace, Cena wins, LOL? That was my pick. I wanted Cena wins, LOL, before the lulls.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I wanted that too. Just a laugh, like just to see that moment where it's like, would everybody really be accepting of it, and where does Roman's character go from there? But we got something easily lullable, and we're gonna see where Roman's character goes from here, because it's gonna create a shift in the dynamic quite a little bit, because Roman finally succeeds in putting down John Cena. He speared the shit out of him, he Superman punched him a bunch of times. And in the end, your winner and victor, the head of the table, the tribal chief, Roman Reigns, is victorious. But we're not done. Oh no, ladies and gentlemen, we are not done.
Oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no.
Because, you know, in one final twist to end SummerSlam, because crowds are back, that means that people are returning to WWE. And this isn't the only return we're going to talk about. But in a interesting twist of fate, emerging from the Michigan, Canadian, Minnesota area out of the woods with some really weird ass hair and a mountain man beard is a jacked Brock Lesnar. And he's coming for Roman.
Oh, and Paul Heyman sitting, crawling in the corner going, no, 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 please God, no, don't let it be him. Shit, it's him. Fuck.
I want this so bad before they ever fight the title. I want the battle for Paul Heyman's love. I want the fight for Paul Heyman so hard. Just do it. Because I think we've all been waiting for this for years. Because Brock and Paul were aligned for years, right? Like, they were always together. And they tried to do something with, like, Paul and Ryback and Paul and some other people. But Paul always, like, abandoned them for Brock. Well, Brock left, right? Like, he fucked off at WrestleMania. And he was gone. And he was done. And, like, his contract was expired. And so Paul moved on and went to Roman. Right? And has been managing Roman for a year. And now here's Brock, right? The OG love of Paul Heyman's life. Back in the picture, he's jacked. And Paul's like, now what is Paul going to do? Right? Because Paul follows the money and the power, but he has a specific loyalty to Brock when it comes to those things. Because he knows. He knows, right? It's only a matter of time before Brock takes Roman's title.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can Roman overcome Brock Lesnar? That's the question. So I really, 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 really want that story of the battle for Paul's love.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, I also kind of want it where Paul Heyman has been leading Roman Reigns into a false sense of security for a year. Yes, it is a love story better than Twilight. Anything is a love story better than Twilight. Anyway, I want it where, like, Paul Heyman has been right there with Roman. He's been learning all of his secrets, learning all the tricks, learning everything about him, and, you know, basically reporting it all back to Brock. And then Brock shows up after Roman has just banished Cena, Roman's most difficult challenge to date, and is, like, ready to take Roman's title. And there's Paul, ready and waiting to strike. Like, I don't know which one I want more. I kind of almost want the battle for Paul's love more. But, like, I could see that being either story, and it would be really good to me.
It'd be really cool. All right, I'm going to interrupt this whole love story thing. So, we gave props to John Cena, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just mentioned Brock Lesnar, right?
Mm-hmm.
After the show, Brock Lesnar murdered John Cena.
I mean, like you do.
Suplex City, NF5, them in the middle of the ring for the go.
I mean, you got to make the people happy.
Oh, I love wrestling. I just wish that was on television. That would have been so awesome. Seen as a company man through and through, just on that.
He will now and forever be the company guy. But yeah, this was a great way to close out the show. It puts everything in doubt for Friday of what's going to happen. And I'm really kind of pissed that you almost have to wait till Friday to see what's going to happen.
For a lot of things.
For a lot of reasons, because they did sweet fuck all to make you excited for Raw tomorrow. No. Like, nothing to be excited about on Raw tomorrow. SmackDown, on the other hand, like, can we just flip it? Where you put SmackDown on Mondays and you put Raw on Fridays? That would be great, because like they did everything right to set you up to be excited for SmackDown on Friday and want to watch SmackDown on Friday for the follow-through alone. Monday, nothing.
Nada. You got Logan Paul on Monday.
Yay, Logan Paul.
Boy.
Anyway, what's next?
I'm just going to randomly pick things and we're going to talk about it, okay?
Okay.
The 4-minute squash of Jinder Mahal.
I mean, it was a I can't even say it was appropriate. I feel really bad for Jinder. I just feel really, really bad.
Drew and his magical sword overcome Jinder Mahal.
I'm telling you, it's a dick reference.
It is.
Dick reference.
It's completely a giant dick reference.
But Drew, yeah.
He just whooped him for 4.5 minutes.
I don't even think Jinder got offense in, did he?
Not that I can remember. Went 440, so it may have got a punch or two in, but nothing. Nothing that you'll remember. All you remember is Drew wins, holds up his sword, goes to murder people. They bail out.
Yeah, I like how I said on Thursday that it's like, what is Drew going to do? Stab somebody with the sword and then he tries to do just that.
He tried to do just that.
Like, can we not have, like, anybody getting cut or stabbed with a sword, please? Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks, yeah.
It's not a pizza cutter, guys. It's not a pizza cutter. You can't get away with that.
That's too hard. Pizza cutters are too hardcore. Anyway, so yeah, Jinder lost to Drew McIntyre. I don't think anyone was really surprised by that outcome. I was surprised it only went 440, but then again, it's Jinder Mahal, and they've done sweet fuck all, to quote you, with him.
I really was kind of hoping that because they had Jinder have a group, and they were trying to put some momentum behind him, and they had him working with Drew, which is apparently a feud everybody's wanted, that, you know, maybe they were going to try and do something with him and try and build him back up because he was out injured. And then he's just kind of been spotty ever since he's come back. And they just haven't really put a lot of weight or momentum behind him. So I was kind of hoping, especially with the feud with Drew, that they were going to do something with him. And that's clearly not the plan at all. So I'm not entirely sure what they're going to do with Jinder. Because I think Drew genuinely wants to work with him and genuinely wants to help him. But, like, at the same time, it's all dependent on how they book him.
Yeah.
And this was embarrassing for Jinder. Like, this did nothing for him. I don't really think it did anything for Drew.
No, it was a way to get him a win on a pay-per-view because, let's be real, he's been losing a lot on pay-per-view. He lost at WrestleMania. He's lost all the title matches. After it, he got screwed out of Money in Bank. So this was in traditional WWE booking. Let's get our babyface a clean, solid win on a pay-per-view to get him back on track.
So here's my question. I wonder if they're starting to turn Drew heel a little bit because his actions continue to be more and more aggressive and more heel-like. Because, you know, babyfaces don't try to stab people with swords.
I mean, some do. We've been watching it.
But I mean, could they be slowly turning Drew into a heel? I don't know.
I don't know. Based on promos, no. Giving him an edge, though? No.
Making him interesting. I mean, more interesting, I should say. Yeah, I mean, I can see that. It's just, he's out there with his giant sword waving it around in front of everybody. Just basically going to kick out. I'm sorry. It's just, that's what it is.
It really is. But good news, everyone. Big E has his briefcase back after beating Baron Corbin. The briefcase wasn't on the line because it wasn't in actual danger, but Big E has his briefcase back. So everything is right in the world. But props to Baron Corbin for continuing to sell the gimmick of being poor.
I kind of like Baron's doing a great job with this, but I kind of don't like what they're doing on this because basically it's like, oh, haha, Baron Corbin, he lost everything. Oh, haha, he's an asshole. Oh, everybody laugh at him. And it's like, okay, Baron Corbin's being humbled. I get that. I respect that. But it's like, do you have to make him like completely dead ass broke to the point that he's like basically homeless and he has nothing? Like, and we're all just supposed to laugh at him? Like, and I guess that's the point is they're trying to make you pity him. But at the same time, it's like, I don't feel like that sends the right message that everybody's like taking advantage of him and being unkind to him. It's like, you know, maybe you should just have someone like take pity on him at some point and show kindness to him like that and kind of help like build him back up. Like, I don't know, like, where they're going with this.
Send him down to NXT and have him align with Cameron Grimes and get him back to the moon.
Like, I don't know. It's like, plus he, like, has this big-ass stain in his shirt, and it looks...
Because it's the only shirt he has, apparently.
His
wife stole all of his stuff.
It's just, you could go to Goodwill, dude.
He's sleeping in production trucks for...
How much money did he lose? He's getting paid by WWE.
But his wife is taking the money, I guess? I don't...
Like, that's what doesn't make sense about this, is he still has a job, he's still getting paid by WWE, and it's not like he's making 20 bucks a week. Like, he's making a good amount of money, I would bet, from WWE, so it's like, how much did you invest versus how much did you lose? That's my question.
But he keeps asking people for $100,000, so who knows?
Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I respect that he's getting it over, because this is the most Baron Corbin has been interesting in, like, forever. But, like, I don't like the fact that it's, oh, hey, we're going to laugh at him because he's poor. Like, that sends, like, the wrong-ass message to everybody. It's like, oh, hey, he lost everything. You know, and it's, in a certain respect, you kind of, like, the dark part of you is, like, serves you right because you were an asshole to everybody. But then you get over that and you're like, okay, you know, you've lost everything. You know, your wife took all your money. You know, you're sleeping in production. Hey, let me help you out, kind of thing. Because, like, what's really shitty about it is, like, you know, he only could pay for, like, 20 seconds of his entrance music being played. Wait, what? That doesn't make any sense. They have to pay for their entrance music to play?
Or someone hit the wrong button and he wasn't supposed to get entrance music and they quickly shut it off. Who knows?
But still, you have to pay for that? Like, no, that comes with, like, everything. That just makes WWE seem like a really shit company that they're charging their superstars their own, like, paychecks to use entrance music. We're not going to get started on why they're shit in certain instances. Bray Wyatt.
You got something. I'd get a drink of water, you got something stuck in your throat.
But, yeah, I don't know. Like, the whole Baron Corbin thing, it's like, okay, can you have somebody, like, take pity on him or something at this point and, like, help him out? Anybody? Like...
I need to jump in really quick. It is midnight-ish here on the East Coast, and Yo's expecting CP Radio Live. This is the Rack Extra Reviews SummerSlam on our SummerSlam blowout. CB Radio returns next Saturday at its normal scheduled time. Ding.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, what's next?
Okay. I'm going to randomly pick things. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
The clusterfuck that was Bobby Lashley and Bill Goldberg.
Oh my god. This was so hard to watch. I respect Bobby Lashley so much because... Dear Lord, he tried. He tried so, so hard. And Bill Goldberg, too, he tried. But this was just... This was not good.
They went and did it. They tried. They attempted a legitimate match. A legitimate match. They tried. They tried to do some moves because everyone knew... They knew we were expecting, you know, spear, 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 spear. Jackhammer. Lol.
But that's all it needed to be.
No, we got big muscly man thing. We got big muscly man moves. One. All right. I'm going to be negative on this, so I'll give it positive. Goldberg looked in great shape. Couldn't move a lick, but he looked in great shape.
He looked wonderful, yeah. But, like, this was just so not good at all. Like, I'm sorry. Eva Marie's match was better. And that's saying something.
Here. We'll get to that. But yeah, no, so like...
Wouldn't be the first time they've done that, old man. Wouldn't be the first time.
Goldberg looks into the camera, starts mean mugging, and looking for a crowd to cheer. They start booing the shit out of him.
Yeah, yeah. What made it worse was after the match was over, Goldberg's son jumped in the ring and Bobby Lashley put him in the...
Hurt Lock.
The Hurt Lock, and everybody started cheering.
Yeah. Okay. So WWE booked this correctly, right? They're getting their, they put heat on the heel, right? With the referee stoppage. They booked it right. Heel gets heat on the babyface, has to stop the match because of a knee injury, right? I'm not using names. Booking right. So then the kid, the son of the babyface, jumps the rail and tries to help his father and gets beat down. The heel should have got booed. He got cheered. Like, if you take out the word Goldberg and you look at the wrestling logic, WWE booked it correctly. But it was Goldberg and no one gave a shit. And we, which is why he's the contractual obligation, which apparently may have another extension clause to get him to Saudi Arabia at Crown Jewel in October because they did a knee injury angle to get him out of this match. Hopefully that's not the thing.
Here's my problem with this.
Hold on, before you go. He may have run down the ramp, I don't know.
No, he came out of the crowd.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah, wasn't he sure. Came out of the crowd. Like, my issue is, like, during the match, right? Like, at one point, MVP hits Goldberg's knee with his cane, and that's supposed to be the knee injury, in quotations.
The start of,
and then Lashley continued to work the leg, which was good and great and methodical. My issue with this is that MVP smacks Goldberg in the knee with a cane. And I'm not even kidding you when I say that he took a step on the injured, in quotations, leg, and there's like a 20 to 30 second delay between MVP smacking him with the knee, with the cane, and Goldberg selling the knee.
It wasn't that long, but it felt that long where it's like, ooh, did I just get bit by a gnat? Ooh, now I'm starting to feel it.
Yeah, it was like, it looked just really awkward. And then after the match, right? Like, Goldberg, like, scrambles to protect his unconscious child, right?
No, it wasn't a TV delay. It was, ooh.
No.
I got bit. Now I gotta react.
Yeah, it wasn't a TV. No, it wasn't. It was just literally Goldberg just had a delay in it wasn't an instantaneous. He gets smacked with a cane and then it's like, oh my God, my knee. And you fall down in pain. Like you do the Peter Griffin and you're sitting on the ground holding your shin. It wasn't that at all. It was literally he's standing there and like 10 seconds after he gets hit, it's, oh shit, my leg. Ow, it hurts. And then after the match, like, Bobby Lashley's beating down Goldberg, and then the son jumps on Bobby's back. Bobby gets him in the hurt lock. Goldberg gets up, or like gets
crawls.
Him in the hurt lock.
Goldberg crawls.
Yeah, he crawls, but Lashley's got him in the hurt lock. The son passes in quotations out, is laid out on the ring, and Goldberg's facing the opposite way of his child. He sees none of this.
Yeah, and then MVP got on the mic.
And basically was like, we fucked your kid up as they're getting out of the ring. And then Goldberg scrambles over and like lays on top of his son.
Oh my God, my son. Oh no.
It's like the damage is already done, dude. Like he already whooped your kid.
Like, oh no, my son, let me crawl.
It was not a good look for anybody involved.
Also, the match itself was rough. Goldberg chucked Lashley off the top rope and looked like Lashley could have fucked up his shoulder.
Yeah, there was a couple instances of this that were kind of oh god moments. That was like, oh, I hope everybody's okay. And I don't want to be that person. But
keep Goldberg out of the ring.
Yeah, it's like, maybe Goldberg's safety record is not that great, because it seems like every time he gets in the ring, there's an oh god moment that's not good.
Multiple.
And somebody either gets hurt legitimately, aka Mark Calloway, or they almost get hurt, and like, it's just kind of a scary thing. Like, I don't want to be that person because I'm not a wrestler, but it just, you see that, and it happens every match. Every time he gets in the ring, you have one of those. And it's like, at some point, you're just concerned somebody's going to get seriously hurt. And also, I don't know if it's Goldberg, I don't know if it's WWE, but the finish to this match, just the inability that every time Goldberg wrestles, the inability for the finish to put the person that he's wrestling over, the complete inability of that, never ceases to astound me. Because does Lashley get the pin on Goldberg? No. Does he submit him? No. The match literally is stopped because Goldberg's knee is so jacked up that he cannot continue. It was a ref stoppage. I'm just sitting here. I'm like, that does nothing for everybody involved. And the beatdown afterwards, again, did nothing for anybody involved beyond making Bobby Lashley seem like a babyface. Because he beat up an old man and his son.
It really, he should be the heel. Legitimately, those are heel moves. This crowd? Nah.
Nah, this crowd was like, so not into Goldberg, so not into his son being there. And so when they got beat up, they cheered. Like, I don't even, I mean, I know we all know WWE fans or wrestling fans in general are assholes, but it's like, come on, guys, come on. But yeah, this was not the best thing on this card, and they tried. I mean, I respect that they tried, but this was
not good. They put an effort in.
So, yay, you tried. What's next?
Yeah, you tried. What was good, putting effort in and really establishing people? Damian Priest and Sheamus had a hell of a match.
Oh, this was good. Even though Damian Priest almost busted his ass, this was good.
Yeah, he did. This was a good match. Apparently, saw the stat on Twitter. Can't remember who, so I can't credit them. Damian Priest is undefeated in singles matches on the main roster.
Go, Damian.
I mean, that's pretty good. That, no wonder he was over tonight.
I like the blue, too. Like, the blue was nice.
Blue worked for him. I love the spot where he pulled off the face mask. And Jamie's like, shit. My superpowers are gone. No!
Yeah. Yeah, I like how that's a thing that they, like, keep removing Sheamus' mask and he keeps freaking out about it. Because he's like, I'm trying to protect my face! And y'all just keep taking my mask. But yeah, I like this. I like these two together.
It was a really good match. Both men worked their asses off. To the point that was the best match up until that point. And it was only three matches in for if you clean the pre-show. But they worked their asses off and had, I would say, the most underrated match of the night.
Yeah, I think we weren't necessarily expecting a lot from this, but we were. And so this was a really pleasant surprise on this card.
Yeah.
Like, in a great way. The only thing that was missing was having Jamie and Priest cannonball into a hot tub, but that's fine. I can accept that. But yeah, this was really, really good. I actually look forward to this feud kind of continuing, maybe.
So Damian Priest walked out of here as the new United States champion. In terms of booking, it's like that's a very sensible, logical booking. Sheamus has been the heel champion for a while. The rising babyface is on a roll, undefeated, according to Twitter. And he got the win. It made perfect sense. Sensible booking by WWE. Imagine. Other sensible booking included RK-Bro and AJ Styles and Omos for the tag titles in Raw.
This was good. This was really entertaining.
I love the spot that stood out to me was I think it was early in the match when Randy was trying to help Riddle with offense. Where it's like, where do I put my hands? Where do you want me to put my hands? And he had his hands out wide. No, Riddle's put them in the middle. So let me springboard off you.
That was good. A little hiccup in this match where AJ tried to like go over Omos' shoulder and he didn't quite succeed and he accidentally kicked Omos. But yeah, this was a great tag match. I enjoyed this a lot. Randy and Matt have undeniable chemistry together. Like, they really, really do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I enjoyed this. I thought it was fine.
Oh, I forgot one thing to mention about going back to RK-Bro, or the new tech champs, by the way. Congrats to Damian Priest to being the national champion.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a little slip. In a post-match interview with Tiffany Haddish, she called him a national champion and not the U.S. champion. But he rolled with it.
It's cool.
He was cool with it.
Cool with it. Nice to see the parade of Olympic wrestling champions on the show as well. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Though, Gable is his name?
Gabe.
I don't know why I think Gable. Gabe Stevenson came out without his medal. Should have brought it. Probably didn't want to travel with it. Probably, you know, medical, yeah, money reasons. Logical booking. Usos retained over the Mysterios. Very logical, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Very logical.
I mean, match is good. We've seen the build up. They've all had good chemistry together. We saw the match of Money in the Bank was really good. This was one and the same.
It makes sense to keep the titles on the Usos right now, and we said this on Thursday because of the storyline with Roman, that for right now, the Bloodline has the tag titles and the Universal Championship under their control.
Makes sense.
And they kind of have that chokehold on two divisions.
You get another babyface challenger ready for Roman, you know, Brock, You build up the Street Profits, get them back in the title picture, because Uso Street Profits is a really good match to do in front of the people. You have a lot to work with there, especially after they get done with Gable and Otis.
Mm-hmm.
Even Uso's gate and what's it, the Alpha Experience or something? I forget the name.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah.
So you got some good tag teams rolling on SmackDown. So Usos have some great challengers, and Mysterios are, we'll see where they go with them. They've been teasing Dominic and Rey. Maybe we'll do a match between Dominic and Rey at some point down the line.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Just so the father can teach his son how to do things properly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's talk about Alexa Bliss and Eva Marie.
Okay. Again, they tried. This was not my favorite match. And it's mainly because this felt like a giant waste of everybody's time. Like, I respect them putting Eva and Alexa in a feud together. I respect them having Eva wrestle Alexa. But just in terms of the characters, they are very much not equal. And in terms of ability, they're very much not equal. And this was just awkward, and it just felt ill-suited. There were some moments in it. Like when Eva grabbed Lily and was messing with Lily, and Alexa lost her shit and went all postal on her.
I'll say this. Eva took the bumps correctly in the proper timing she needed to be.
Yes.
Alexa Bliss spent 3.5 minutes playing with her food.
Pretty much. I mean, pretty much that was it. Yeah. And I mean, what this really kind of set up was what I'm guessing is the split between Piper Dewdrop and Eva.
That was great. The loser of the match, as she put on the robe, Eva Marie.
Yeah. Basically, in response to Eva slapping her twice and, you know, generally being rude to her, is that Piper/Dewdrop did nothing to help her in this match. Absolutely nothing. Eva kept going over to her, and Piper's like, you know what? No, you do you. I'm supporting you. Yeah. I'm supporting you, but I'm not helping you. No. No, you go beat that on your own. You wanted to mess with her, you go beat her on her own. So Piper got a small measure of revenge against Eva. We'll see if there's a split tomorrow on Raw, or if they kind of continue to build it a little bit. But yeah, this was just, like, Alexa looked good, liked the gear, but again, it kind of just felt like a waste of time a little bit.
Okay, because I didn't hear, because I was traveling at this point. I think I was traveling at this point, but I didn't have sound up for it, but I was watching the show on the pre-show. So we should talk about announcing the TikTok winner. How was she?
Okay, they need to hire her, because she was into this. Like, she was feeling it. She was all about it. And she looked so sweet, because you could tell that she was, like, really nervous.
Yeah.
Like, she's standing in the ring with Mike Rome, and she's like, oh my god, holy shit. Like, just her face. You can just see it in her face. She's just, like, freaking out. But in a good way, because it's like, wow, it's really happening. And yeah, she announced Big E in a ring with authority. She did a good job with Baron Corbin. She did a good job after the match. Like, if they need a ring announcer, man, they need to hire her. Plus, she's cute. She's really cute. And I love the little, like, outfit she was wearing. Because she had this, like, nice Barella on. And she had a cute little dress. And then she's wearing these boots. And yeah, I mean, she just, like, showed up. Like, okay, all right. You do you. I respect you. But yeah, she was good.
Okay. So we got that out of the way. Got that out of the way. All right. Something really good was Edge and Seth Rollins.
Oh, my God.
One, Friday with the bloodbath was great. Two, Edge coming out tonight with a brood entrance.
Adam, you did not need to go that hard. You really didn't. Like, the fact that you had Edge do the full-on brood entrance and then he did his regular entrance, my ovaries were not ready for that, Adam. Like, they just weren't. Like, you didn't need to do that to them, okay? Like, they were fine as they were. You didn't need to, like, make them explode unexpectedly by doing a brood entrance. Like, a full-on goddamn brood entrance. With the fire. And everything. Like, Jesus, dude.
Oh, yeah, lack of power tonight, because I guess there was something in the building where they didn't have it set up, and they just used smoke tonight.
Well, with the way that they did the entranceway, which is a little weird, they just didn't have the room between the fans and the entranceway to do the pyro, because normally when they shoot the pyro off, it's the fans are way back off the stage from where they shoot it.
Right, and they couldn't do it above the stadium because they had the roof closed, so.
Yeah. So there was no pyro. There's lots of smoke, though.
Lots of smoke and stuff. I didn't notice it until I read about it on Twitter. It was like, oh, there was no pyro. It didn't change the show for me, to be fair. But no, Seth Rollins' outfit. Let's go there before we get into the match.
I mean, if Seth wants to continue playing with his fashion choices, I mean, can I get a full-on, like, Regency Mr. Darcy look? Is that a thing? Like, can I get that, you know, for science?
Science.
Can I get that for science? Because I feel like he could be a really smarmy, like, Mr. Darcy, and it would be amazing. But, like, yeah, this was, like, he wore I think it was a tribute to Michael Jackson. I think that's what everybody is generally thinking it was. It wasn't 100% clear, but he came out in, like, this military-type jacket. He had sparkly pants. He had one hand taped up white. And then he had, like, white shin guards. Like, it was a nice outfit. It was a good outfit. He looked good tonight. And then Edge had all the Brood stuff in black and red. And he looked really good, except for his hair color, which you kept complaining about.
It was weird. It was really bright. And yesterday it was dark. I don't know what happened.
They might have hit it with, like, a little something to, like, brighten it before he wrestled tonight. I don't know. Like, they might have, like, just hit it with some dye. Or it could have just been how wet it was. I don't know. Like, maybe it's that Pure Life water. It just makes it really ultra bright. Who knows? But,
Oh, yeah. New Day sprayed Miz and Wood sprayed Miz and Morrison with water. That was the recap of that segment. Back to the match.
He was Razor Ramon. It was nice.
It was a nice touch.
But yeah, this was like, this match between Edge and Seth was phenomenally good. I think we all thought and knew it was going to be really good. You had the two of them just absolutely beat the shit out of each other. Like, I liked the finish of this where you literally have Edge just bash Seth's face into the mat repeatedly for like until he just passes out, and then he just puts him in the crossface and just beats him, taps him.
That was good. It was a good finish. Really good work match, pace really well. You got enough drama in there. I love the spear into the pedigree. That was a cool moment.
Mm-hmm.
The glam slam.
Edge pulling out one of his wife's moves. At least we know Seth's titties are real. They didn't pop. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah, the implant buster. Get it? Titties popping. I love it. This was the up until the main. This was the match of the night.
Yeah, this was really, really good. And I like the placement of it. I maybe would have liked it to go a little bit earlier, but I understand why they put it where they put it. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing them go again.
And you're going to now. Okay. So we said on Thursday that Edge needed a win. Edge, just because he kind of needs it just for the character wise. So you don't go the old man route. This now motivates Seth Rollins to come back and beat Edge.
Like, yeah.
Character motivation is everything. I know, because clearly they're not ready to go, Seth and Roman, based on the ending of the show tonight. So you got to keep him distracted with Edge, unless Seth wants to get his ass kicked by Brock Lesnar. Which he is the Beast Slayer, so he might not have a problem with it. But you're going to keep him distracted with Edge and the story there, or whatever, wherever it takes Seth Rollins, he's going to be motivated to seek revenge in any manner that he get. Edge worked a very safe match. They did some great spots, nice callbacks and stuff, like the submission stuff where, oh, goddamn, Cole, he brought back the Educator.
He never lost it.
Like, Cole, you sounded so robotic saying it, please. It's like, just, yeah, please, no. So yeah, it was cool. Like, the match was really dope. I liked it. Edge wins via submission. No one thought Edge was going to win, it was going to be via submission. So the surprise on them with the choke, the sleeper choke, that was good. I liked it. That was really good.
Yeah, this was well put together, well thought out, well booked, and it was kind of like, okay, all right, Seth loses, because I think we said on Thursday that it's like we were expecting him to be the next challenger for Roman.
something happened along the way.
Nope, a Brock Lesnar happened along the way, so that makes sense why you have Seth lose. You keep him outside with Edge on a little bit longer until Brock gets done, and then we'll see where we go from there. But yeah, this was excellent.
Okay, so we covered everything so far that won't set the internet too much on fire. Okay, let's talk about Charlotte Flair, Nikki A.S.H., and Rhea Ripley.
Okay, the positive. This was a fucking good match.
Charlotte Flair came to work at SummerSlam to prove how good she really is. The corkscrew moonsault she delivered where she really landed it on Rhea and Nikki on the outside was spectacular.
Oh, it was beautiful. She almost kicked somebody in the face, but it was beautiful.
It was beautiful. But this was a really well done work match. All three looked really good in this match. Okay. Positives, really good match. Charlotte Flair wins. LOL. People are mad. Charlotte is once again champion. We said on Thursday she didn't need it. She doesn't need it. But they felt like she needed it. I thought it was going to go back to Rhea. I always knew Nikki was not walking out here with it.
Yeah.
But what the key was, and we talked about Thursday, they mentioned the streak. She's on a winning streak. I thought it was 4-0. Apparently it was 5-0, or now she's 6-0. Whoever does the math on Twitter's will figure it out. But she's undefeated at SummerSlam. They were trying. In the end, that's what they decided was more important than anything else, was to keep that alive for it to matter down the line. It's not going to be an Undertaker long streak because...
We don't know that. Because apparently nothing is sacred. Even though everybody's like, nobody will ever have an undefeated streak like that ever again. Clearly not, because they're going to give it to Charlotte Flair.
Charlotte Flair's not going to wrestle another 15 years. So it's not going to get that long.
But they're clearly giving her an undefeated streak. Like, yes. They're clearly doing that.
Which is okay.
Whether it's unconscious or not.
I think it was very unconscious until someone looked it up this year.
Until somebody pointed it out in a production meeting, and they're like, oh shit, she's undefeated. Well,
which is how we can
capitalize on this.
Which is how the Undertaker streak came about. No one really thought about it until it got to a certain point. So
I think it was like 10 and... No, it was like 10 and 0. It was like
8 or 9 and 0.
Yeah, and it kind of became a thing. Because like once he went 10 and 0, it was like, oh shit, he's 10 and 0. Mm-hmm. But it didn't like really become a thing until it was like 18 or 19.
When it became very overdramatic.
Yeah.
Starting with, as like, things do with Mark Calloway.
Yeah, as things want to do with The Undertaker.
So, I get it outright, Charlotte Flair champion. To what they thought was important.
I do feel bad for Nikki.
I do.
Because she was trying really hard, and I don't necessarily think she got a full chance with the title. Now, that's not saying that she won't get it back, but I have a sinking suspicion that this character may or may not get it back. Like, I think while it's still exceptionally popular online, I think really people really enjoy it and people really like it online, and she has a great presence there and she has a great message with it. My thing with it is, based on the reactions that she got tonight, based on the reactions she got on Monday, the character's not as over with the live crowd as we would be led to believe.
It's not there yet.
It's not there yet, and so I think part of that is, okay, the character's getting booed. That's not what they want. That's not what they're going for with it, so maybe they need to do a little bit more work on it.
They do.
Maybe they need to grow it a little bit more and make her more of an underdog, because basically she debuted the character, and then she kind of won the title shortly after that, so it's like you don't really know what's going on with it yet. And then as it started to sink in and progress in the way that they booked it, and granted, they did her no favors when she was champion. They didn't really book her that strong at all. It's just not there. So I'm hoping she gets it again, but I feel like, you know, I feel bad for her because they just didn't help her at all when she had the title. And you just see her sort of like, what's really sad is when she hands the title to the referee and she's woefully looking at it. Like, this is the last time I'm ever going to have it. For right now.
If you told me 6 months ago she would be at SummerSlam as your Raw Women's Champion, everyone would have said no. I would have said no. But here she was. So in terms of that, she made great strides. She's an underdog character. You have to build it that way. She'll get her big moments when they need to. And she'll have that positive speech for the little girls. The character itself will work. Give it time.
Well, and part of it, too, is the story that you can tell is, you know, the big baddie Charlotte came in and took her title away. And now Nikki has to, recover, figure out what she's going to do next. And then she can maybe go after the ultimate villain, Charlotte Flair, to get her title back.
And it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Also, putting the title on Charlotte gets her out of the way so she doesn't have to be involved in Queen of the Ring.
Yeah.
You could put Nikki in Queen of the Ring and you see what happens. Okay. So Charlotte Flair is the 12-time champion, or 15 time if you count NXT or whatever the number they're going to choose to use this week. I think it's 12. Really good. Really enjoyable match. The girls work their asses off. Okay, we've run down everything on this show to this point. In an odd form. Hope you're liking it. So it was reported 7 days ago that Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks were unable to compete at house shows last weekend. They missed Saturday and Sunday. On Tuesday, it was reported. I think it was Tuesday that both women were clear to compete at SummerSlam, barring any unseen circumstance.
Which is weird.
Whether that part is true or not, I don't know. My gut is telling me Bianca was pulled because Sasha was pulled, and Bianca's been fine the entire time.
I think Bianca got pulled as a precaution because I think you and I both have the same theory on what it is with Sasha.
We have a couple theories,
but the one theory is that potentially Sasha could have tested positive for COVID, and they pulled Bianca because Sasha and Bianca have been working together. Bianca could have gotten exposed. And so because of that, it's, well, let's just take you out for right now, and just to make sure that you don't have any symptoms and that you're going to test negative. And then if you test negative, then we'll put you back in play, which very clearly she tested negative. The other theory could be because Sasha wasn't there, they just pulled Bianca just so she's not there by herself. But yeah, I would like to award this match the most convoluted match of the night.
Okay. So the entire night they're promoting Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair. It's like, we heard the rumor she's going to be out, right? She's out. Okay. Then there were reports tonight. She's out. Then we get to it. Oh, we had Shinsuke Nakamura
randomly
come out and do a musical performance with Rick Boggs and fucking Pat McAfee. And that's just awesome. Like, Pat's love for doing it is breathes life into everything.
Please never take Pat McAfee off of commentary. Ever. Just never, ever. He's too good at it.
So, there's all that. So, they could have done things differently in how they booked it. They could have said, Greg comes on the microphone and goes, Sasha Bianca's out there. Sasha Bianca cannot compete. Okay. So, you see Bianca's face go, what? What's going on? And then they announce someone. This is where the booking should have been changed slightly. It could have helped things for people. Okay, you have, so Greg goes, her replacement opponent, the most beautiful, the hottest woman in WWE, Carmella. So she comes out and everything. Well, the way it should have been booked, as Lindsay pointed out to me, is like, it should have been an open challenge, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how you were setting it up.
Yeah, the way that I set it up is basically they go ahead and announce like today that due to unforeseen circumstances that, you know, Sasha Banks can't compete because they were promoting the match right up until this moment. So it's like, instead you announce it today. Sasha Banks cannot compete. And as a result, Bianca Belair will be issuing an open challenge to anybody out there on the rosters that wants to come for the title because she's here to compete, right? Like, she's gotten ready. She's trained. Just because Sasha's not here, she still wants to fight somebody. So let's issue an open challenge. So you have Carmella come out. Carmella's like, yo, bitch, let's fight. And Bianca's like, okay, all right, let's go, thinking that she's going to have an easy time of it, right? Because it's Carmella. And then you have the surprise, which was, after a year and a half, the man, Becky Lynch, comes around again. She made her return to a thunderous ovation.
She looks so happy.
She looks so good.
That too. But
like, she looks better than before she left.
Like, there, the pictures going around that people caught, the smile on her face being back. She looked so damn happy.
She's like, I'm home. I'm back where I belong. And Bianca's excited. Becky's excited. Carmella's kind of meh, but secretly excited, I'm sure, to be a part of such a big moment. And Becky's like, hold on just one sec. And Carmella, and basically Becky beats the shit out of Carmella, going back to the theory. So Becky makes her return, same as what happened tonight. She beats the shit out of Carmella, same as what happens tonight. And then you have Becky make the challenge to Bianca, which is what happened. Instead, what they did is they promoted the match of Sasha versus Bianca literally up until the moment. Like, literally, they're like, you have Bianca come out and then you make the announcement, which is stupid to me. It's like, just cancel it. If you know she's not going to be there, it's like, it's okay to promote it up until today. Like, that's fine, but make the announcement this morning. Oh, hey, by the way, or it's not happening.
Or even
as the show's going live on
kickoff.
Yeah, or something. Like, to basically say, because basically everybody was really looking forward to this match. Everybody wanted this match to happen. And I'm sure the two women did, too. And WWE did. Like, everybody wanted this. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, we don't know, it didn't happen. So it's like, just try to make the best out of it. Don't make it ultra contrived. Just cancel the match, right? Either today or on the kickoff or something, and say Bianca is going to issue an open challenge to anybody in the company that wants to come for the title, right? Because we talked about it on Thursday. What factor is Becky Lynch going to play into this show? Because everybody knows Becky's raring to go. And there's rumors she's coming back in October, but there were also rumors it was going to be SummerSlam. And whether this situation accelerated that, we don't know.
Hold on. I'm going to interrupt you. What tickets they were sold? What tickets would have it cost them, Tim?
Yeah, the show was already sold.
Show was sold. That's why I said kickoff. During the kickoff show, you announce it. People are already in the building. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, but I mean, and you could do it exactly as you did it, where it's like Carmella comes out. Becky comes out. Becky whoops her ass. Becky challenges Bianca, and Bianca's like, okay, all right, let's go.
I want to stop you for a second. Oh, you said buys. Still buys? That's why on kickoff, you do it on the kickoff, and you've already sunk in the people. And if you were buying it for just Sasha, Bianca, you were probably buying it for Cena and Roman. I'm just throwing that out there.
I don't think they're that concerned about pay-per-view buys, I'm going to be completely honest.
Yeah.
That's like a secondary income stream because they've got it on the network and they've got it on Peacock, and in either instance, they've got your money.
Okay.
Because it's on the streaming services.
Okay, so you on the kickoff, what you do on the kickoff is, yeah, Bianca cut the promo, right? I'm going to answer Devil's Fan in a second. The answer is no. Two, there's your answer. On the kickoff, you have Bianca cut the promo backstage with Sarah Schreiber, right?
Uh-huh.
They after she finds him, what do you think of this? Tonight we'll have I'll have an open challenge to anyone who wants to fight for this, right?
Uh-huh.
So that puts in people's minds, it's going to be Becky. It's going to be Becky. It's going to be Becky. And so Bianca comes out, and the fans start chanting Becky, Becky. Then you hit the button for Carmella's music, the crowd, instead of the crowd being like, what the hell? They would boo the crap out of the building. That would have been tremendous. That would have been your heat. And then you got the big pop for Becky. Like, that would have been really cool. Like, that would have been the pop she got was huge. That would have been, I think it would have turned it up just a little bit of a notch. Just a little bit of a notch in terms of that.
But they did what they did, and you got Becky out there. You got the reaction you wanted. You got everything, right?
You got a huge moment with the girls staring each other down.
And you get Carmella out of the factor, and then you get teased with the possibility of Becky and Bianca Belair, right? And all of a sudden you're like, yes, let's do this. And they, you know, they both agree to it. Becky convinces Bianca. Bianca's like, yeah, absolutely, let's go. They ring the bell and everybody's like, yes, this is going to be so good. This is so going to be so awesome. A handshake, an elbow to the face, a rock bottom later, Becky Lynch is your new SmackDown Women's Champion. And everybody is sitting there in stunned disbelief going, what the actual fuck just happened? Okay.
I cackled. I cackled.
He did. He laughed. One, they did do Bianca dirty, okay? I can completely respect that they did Bianca dirty, because that was shitty. They kind of did us all dirty there, because it's like, motherfucker, we just got teased with something really, really good, and they just, like, yoinked, like, the rug right out from underneath of us, right? Because it's like, you assholes. But that's just the tease for the later match that we're going to get between the two. Do I agree with the way that they did it? No. I don't like it at all. Like, I don't like how they did it. Because here's my thing. You booked Bianca so strong going into Mania, at Mania, coming out of Mania. Like, she's been a really good champion for SmackDown, right? And you have her get beat in 26 seconds by Becky Lynch. And in any other sports application that's physical, like whether it's UFC, whether it's boxing, like if somebody comes in and knocks the champion out in 26 seconds and takes the title, everybody would love it. Like everybody loved it when Ronda Rousey used to do that. In wrestling, it doesn't necessarily work the same just because it's like the way that they did it just seems shitty. And it was the selection of move. It's the rock bottom. If you had Becky like punch her in the face and knock her out or kick her in the face and knock her out, that's completely different. But she did the rock bottom, which it's like, really? Really? That's what's gonna, you know, put Bianca down? Is that right there? No. Here's what I like, is that they jump-started the rivalry between the two.
Mm-hmm.
That you're gonna tune in Friday because you have Bianca react to that absolutely perfectly because it was, you bitch. And she's standing there the whole time looking at Becky like, you bitch. You got me. Okay. All right. You tricked me. Good on you. I'm going to fuck your shit up now.
So we were talking in the WGR group chat, in case you kind of agree with me. It's like the looks Bianca gave her sold the booking of the match.
Mm-hmm.
You suckered me in. How dare you? You got me. She was, she got suckered in to have a match with the man, Becky Lynch. And Becky Lynch came in there and stole her title. I knew going in, Bianca was losing tonight. Whether it was going to be to Sasha or now Becky, she was dropping the belt tonight because she needs to chase now.
Mm-hmm.
So going on that thing, whether this was supposed to be Sasha keeping the belt or getting the belt or whatever, Bianca needed a change. To chase the belt. That's what needed to happen going forward because it's what you do. You get your run, now you gotta chase. It's why back in the Attitude Era, Steve Austin didn't hold the belt longer than a couple of months before chasing it again. It's why The Rock and Triple H would transfer the belt back and forth.
Know about that, LeMans. Like, I feel like Bianca could easily get the title back from Becky in like a month or 6 weeks. It could even be as long as Survivor Series. Like, I don't picture Becky having a long reign. Like, I can see Becky and Bianca being really competitive with each other and kind of going back and forth, especially depending on what's going on with Sasha, because there is another possibility, and I'm not saying that it's happening, but Sasha could be expecting something and we don't know about it yet. And so if that's the case, then that's going to take Sasha out for a while. Now, if she could be fine and she could be back next week, we don't know. But the return of Becky Lynch, especially putting her in a feud with Bianca, that's going to do great things for Bianca because you can have her challenge Becky and beat Becky. And that's a feather in her cap because I think one of the things Bianca said she wanted to do was beat all four horsewomen.
And now she has the opportunity to do so. She's beat Sasha, she's beat Bayley. Now she has the man Becky Lynch in front of her as champion. How long will Becky be champion? No one knows. Could be a month, could be 6 months. Nobody knows, but she's back. She has the belt. Yeah, I read Twitter. People were upset. And you have all the right in the world to be upset at the booking decision to beat her in 26 seconds. The worst booking decision of the night was putting Bill Goldberg in a ring. This, on the scale of the bad booking decisions by WWE, is low end. It really is. I understand the frustration. It sucks for Bianca. It really does. Your big moment you lose in 26 seconds to Becky Lynch. But you can tell she's not going anywhere. Like, legitimately, she's not going anywhere. They're not dropping her down the card. Wonder why? There's nowhere to drop. She's in the picture. She's going to get a rematch. You're going to get Becky and Bianca one-on-one, and they're going to deliver one hell of a match. And Becky may do the honors for her on the return. You don't know. But that's good that you don't know.
Like, here's the thing. Next month is Extreme Rules. Maybe or maybe not the horror show. We're not sure.
Thankfully not a horror show.
But it's Extreme Rules, so you could easily put Becky and Bianca in an Extreme Rules match for the title. And you have enough heat coming out of this, and you'll continue to build that over the weeks leading up to Extreme Rules, that it will make sense that the two just absolutely need to beat the shit out of each other. Like, that's, I think, where they're going with it. Like, they completely jump-started a rivalry between the two. Because otherwise, you don't necessarily have a reason for them to fight, because Becky's coming back, and Becky's going to be a babyface potentially, at least on her return. Now, if they turn her heel on Friday, that's fine. But, like, when she comes back, she's going to come back as a babyface, because everybody's going to be like, oh my god, it's Becky! Holy shit, she's back! She looks great! She looks awesome! We love Becky! And then she beats Bianca in 26 seconds, and everybody's pissed! Because it's like, wait, what the fuck? So, while it's convoluted and it's stupid, and I don't think anybody really liked it, it gives you a reason to watch SmackDown on Friday. Because now it's, okay, what is Bianca gonna do to respond to Becky? How is she going to handle this coming into Friday? And how is Becky going to respond? Like, it's a good way to get people interested in the story, is it's just, you piss them off about it, and it's like, well, I have to see where this goes. For some people, namely me, who are completely in drama and need it in their life. It's a good way to basically say, hey, I want to watch SmackDown on Friday to see where this Bianca-Becky thing goes.
Controversy creates cash. Trademark Eric Bischoff. But it does. A controversial finish like that, where Becky comes in, takes down the reigning champion, outsmarted the champion. Becky wasn't on any brand.
She was on Raw, but when she left, the draft happened, and she's now a free agent.
You now have something to tune in for. It again, did they do her dirty? Yeah, but guess what? We've seen worse. I know everyone's in overreaction mode lately on Twitter and social, because it's social, and everyone's gonna overreact, right?
Mm-hmm.
I saw it all up and down Twitter. How dare you do this to her? Da, 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 da. It's not the worst thing they've ever done in professional wrestling. Hate to break it to you. It's not the worst thing people have ever done. And it won't, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 1.5 at the end of the day. You know? Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, 18 seconds to Sheamus?
Mm-hmm.
That was dirtier. But guess what? Turned into a movement, didn't it? Everything has potential. So I get overreaction on Twitter and social and everything. It's wrestling. We have 62-year-old men going through tables and popping right back up. We have the best in the world returning and giving out free ice cream bars to people. You have batshit booking going on in both companies with overbooked finishes. You have Christian Cage as your world champion of Impact Wrestling after 5,000 plus days of never being in that promotion. He's a world champion after being out for 7 years. Wrestling is weird. Brock Lesnar's back. Becky Lynch is back. Edge pulled out a gimmick from 1998 tonight. Like, wrestling's weird, but wrestling's fun. We're in a time where wrestling's fun for a majority of things. People are getting fired left and right. It happens. We're in it. It's the world we live in. But people will be okay. Things will move forward. It is what it is. If you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you. I enjoy everything I've seen on television in the last 72 hours or 48 hours, whatever it's been. Everyone's still gonna make a living. It's wrestling. If you look at wrestling too seriously, you're gonna just burn out on it, I guess. I don't know. I watched the show tonight. I laughed my ass off at some of the booking decisions, because that's all you can do. Legitimately, all you can do. Some good, some bad. John Cena worked his ass off. Roman Reigns worked his ass off. Brock Lesnar comes back. You got a new badass coming through again. Becky's back. RK-Bro is going to be awesome to watch on television on Raw. That's the good thing about them. They have the legs to do shit there. I don't know. That's my thoughts. Wrestling's fun.
This wasn't the worst show I've ever seen. This wasn't the best show I've ever seen. It's kind of in the middle. I thought the ending was entertaining. And I thought there were entertaining spots throughout. I'm, like I said at the top of the show, I'm still kind of struggling with it because, and this feels really stupid to me, because it's like a person that doesn't even know that I exist, right? Probably doesn't even care that I exist, right? But it's like you've been a fan and you follow them and you've really loved them for 12 years and you've hoped and you've cried and you've laughed and you've done all those things with them, even though they're completely not aware of it. They get fired and they're gone. And it's like now it really feels like you have nothing. And that's kind of where I'm at with it, is it's like when it's love. And it's really difficult for me in this instance, just because I don't have anything to really love in WWE right now. Like the one hope and the one thing that kind of kept me watching before he got fired was that Bray was going to come back. Like it's, oh, you know, they're just waiting for audiences. They're just waiting for audiences. He's going to come back when audiences are back. And that was after WrestleMania. So I was like, great, I have to sit here till fucking August and wait for them to go to SummerSlam and have him come back at SummerSlam, because that was the rumor. And then like 10 days before he's supposed to come back, he gets fired, right? And now it's, well, what the fuck am I supposed to like get excited for or watch for? Because it's not there. So for me, it's like I'm still trying to figure it out and figure out what I enjoy and what I don't enjoy about the product. And so there was some stuff on here that I definitely didn't like, that I definitely didn't enjoy. But there was stuff on here that I did like. I liked the mains. I thought they were good. I thought they were very entertaining. I liked some other stuff that happened on the show. Am I a little tired of like the Miz and Morrison drip shit? Yeah. I don't think it's the best thing. I don't think it's the worst thing. I think it's a little stupid, but people like stupid. People are entertained by it. It's just not my thing. I mean, I think that's everybody, though, with every product, not just WWE's. It's like there's stuff that you like and there's stuff that you don't like about it.
And we just continue on.
Yeah.
And that, at the end of the day, is awesome. Because guess what? You know what happens in 24 hours? We got NXT. We got TakeOver. That's going to be fun.
Yeah. I mean, I've been enjoying the shit out of NXT because there's people on there that I've like connected to and attached to. And I enjoy that a lot more than when I'm watching on Raw or SmackDown right now. And part of the problem for me is that I don't get to necessarily see SmackDown a lot because it's on a Friday night and I go drinking on Friday nights. So like, I don't always get to see SmackDown live. And then it's like, I'm busy on the weekends and I forget to watch it on the weekends. And then by the time I remember to watch it, it's Monday or Tuesday, or it's the middle part of the week, and it's just like, I don't feel like watching it because there's nothing really on there that makes me go, hey, I have to see this. Because part of it too is like, in order to keep up with it, I can go watch the highlights on YouTube.
And that's the thing. And now there's reasons. You have characters now to tune in for SmackDown. That's the cool thing. Raw, they gave you no one, but we'll see what happens.
Raw needs so much help.
Yeah. Yeah, watch whatever you like at this stage. If you don't like WWE, go watch AEW, go watch New Japan, whatever. Just
I would say this. Like, let's take the elitism out of this shit. No pun intended on that. Like, let's stop pretending that one company is better than the other. Because there are different companies doing different things. They're offering different products to people, even though it's based in the same genre. If you like AEW, go watch AEW. But don't be sitting there shitting all over WWE just because you can, right? Same thing goes for WWE fans. If you don't like AEW, don't watch it. But don't shit all over it. Let people enjoy what they want to fucking enjoy.
And
just don't be a dick.
Yeah. Also, people need to learn to take criticism of the product they really enjoy. Kidding. Not really. Because there's a lot to be said about both companies that you just scratch your head about.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real. Logic sometimes. But what do I know?
You're soulless and you don't know how to have fun.
That's something. Yeah. That's the best argument. You don't like to have fun. Nah, I don't like to have fun. No, I just get... Anyway, we could ramble all night, but it's late.
It's very late.
For me, I still have another 45 minutes to go, but hey, we're going to end it here. Because God knows, we could keep going and going and going. But I say we're done.
We're done, so you got us to plug, so plug away.
Normally, this time slot is Super Radio. We'll be back next week, midnight-ish, for another edition. SuperLive.com, GrandTheGreatDebate.com. Tomorrow night, WTF Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio will review SummerSlam in their manner. Probably around 10:30 once TakeOver's over, because we don't want to have it going up. But just stay tuned to the Twitters. It'll be tomorrow night. 10-ish. Go with that as a time slot. Monday nights, Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Madden NFL 22, EA Sports is in the game. Thanks to our friends over at EA Sports for providing the game. The review is up at RackRadioShow.com. Just search the Rack Radio Show on all podcasting platforms, wherever you want to get it. It's available right now. At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You support channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code RocketSock or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners.
Oh, one quick other thing. We live Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, a review takeover. Forgot that part.
Yeah, WTR is live tomorrow night to give their thoughts on SummerSlam.
Right, so they're live tomorrow. Tomorrow we're live Thursday for the Rock to preview takeover. That's everything. It's late. You're up.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsborn, LNSWRD. Don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. Hope you liked it. Hope you enjoy it. Tweet us your thoughts on SummerSlam if you want. But till then, Brock and I are going to head out and go to bed. So you've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.